If you want to turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14, and some of you know already what that says. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. Yeah, trying to find it is another matter. 2 Chronicles is after Samuel. No, sorry, after Kings, I mean, sorry. I messed up as well. Is it somewhere in the Bible? I love Laura. Okay, here we go. Okay, right. I'm not going to speak for a long time. It gets to 12 o'clock. I'm finishing. Ish. Okay, so here we go. But I am going to be speaking again next week. And this week, God said, don't prepare anything because it's on your heart. And that's just not me. That is very un-Mike. Okay. And I thought, oh, Lord, come do this. What on earth are you doing to me, Lord? But there are things in my head, things in my heart. But do you know what? I turned up to the prayer meeting this morning at 9:15, and I kind of realised why God said to me, don't prepare anything, because I began to write my sermon from the things that God was sharing in the prayer meeting this morning. Some astounding things. So it's not going to be as logical as Mike normally is, but let's just read through these verses here. And that's partly why I've got this amazingly exceptional leaflet that I produced. that is because I knew I wouldn't get through everything. Everything's on there, so I'm going to be talking about some of that a little bit later on. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and you can put it up whenever you want to, Tom. Has he managed to do it? He's done it already, look at that. Awesome, Tom, you are amazing. Right, okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I was going to say read it together, but we've probably all got different versions, so I'll just read it out. If, yeah, it is a big if, that one, isn't it? I love that. I just wish God had said when. Yeah? Wouldn't you? If my people who are called by my name, I was talking this morning to Mike about marriage and being married, and when you get married to somebody, if you're the bride, you take on their name. I love that. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And then I want us to turn to, this is going to be even harder now, are you ready? Zechariah. I know, sorry Mark. Zechariah is towards the end of the Old Testament. That's right. It's towards, and we're going to go to Zechariah chapter 2. We weren't going to until Dave prayed this morning in the prayer meeting, but we are, because it's astounding. Then I looked up, and there before me was a man with a measuring line in his hand. And I asked, where are you going? And he answered me to measure Jerusalem, to find out how wide and how long it is. And then the angel who was speaking to me left, and another angel came to meet him and said to him, run, tell that young man. Jerusalem will be a city without walls because of the great number of men and livestock in it. And I myself will be a wall of fire around it, declares the Lord. And I will be its glory within. And then we move on to verse 13. Be still before the Lord, all mankind, because he has roused himself from his holy dwelling. And as Dave shared that this morning, and we were praying this morning, I just had a sense that, you know, sometimes that's quite frustrating, isn't it? When you want to go out there for the glory of God and do amazing things for God, and you have that sense of the moving of God in your heart, and you think, well, I'm going to step out in him and do astounding things for God. And God says, be still. And as I was at New Wine, one of the words that came across was wait. Wait. I thought, wait. Yeah, I've been 30-odd years of waiting, Lord. Wait. What do you mean, wait? Be still. Be still. And as we're praying this morning, I felt that God was saying, this is not a twiddling of thumbs, be still. Because when you're still, I will move. When you are still in the presence of a living God, then something powerful is going to happen. Now, you could be still at Tesco's and sat there in your coffee, and that's, I don't mean that kind of being still. I don't mean twiddling thumbs. I mean be still in the presence of God. When you get yourself into the presence of God, into that place of solitude with him, in that place of intercession with him, then God begins to move. God will do what God wants to do. And all the things that we're praying for and all the things that we can do, God will do more. He will multiply as we get into his presence and we stand in his presence, as we exalt him in his presence, as we worship him in his presence. God says, be still because I rouse myself and I am moving. And we'll see astounding things happen as we come into the presence of God. And at this time of year, we always think about what is the vision that we have for us as a church. And as leaders, we are thinking about our long-term vision of where we're going. And yes, we've been given a piece of land in the middle of Ormskirk. Can't believe I'm saying that. We've been given a piece of land in the middle of sunny Ormskirk. Wow. Right in the middle of Ormskirk. I mean, that's, you know, 100-something thousand pounds worth of land in the middle of Ormskirk. And we are building a vision. And we say, Lord God, what is the vision that you've got for us? And how will everything that we do and everything that we have been given fit into that vision? But I have got an immediate vision. So we're working on that. Please pray for the leaders as we think about that ongoing vision. And I would love to stand here and say, oh, and we could do this, and we'll 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 do this. But I'm just waiting on God at the moment. We're waiting on God at the moment. And you've got a leadership team that will wait on God and wait on God and wait on God. Because we're not like King Saul that will decide that we're going to do the sacrifices ourselves and go into battle. And then Samuel turns up and says, what on earth are you doing? You should have waited for me. I'm no longer going to bless you anymore. Let's be like King David, who spent his time in the presence of a living God. But I have got a vision right now for this church, and the vision is that we become a church of intercessors. God is calling us to be a church of intercessors, people who are consecrated before him. God has said to us quite clearly in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, God has said, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow I will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourselves. And we've had that word for a number of years, and I'm starting to take it seriously now. Because what consecration means is to devote yourselves and dedicate yourselves before the living God. Now, our leaders meet, we had a leaders meeting yesterday, and I was unpacking some of this. I'm not going to do all of it right now. But as over these holidays and over these last few days and weeks and months, I've been consecrating myself to the Lord. God, what does that mean? I've been spending time in his presence. And as I've spent my time in the presence of God and getting up early in the morning and just devoting myself to interceding and doing what I believe is the right thing in God, which is interceding for other people, I believe God has called me to be an intercessory leader. And so I pray for every single person sat on the church right now. You get prayed for at least once a week, guys. I'm not boasting. I'm just saying I want to encourage you that you are being prayed for. And we need to be praying for one another. As I've been doing that, as I've been dedicating myself and devoting myself to that, God has been consecrating me, making me clean, renewing me and refreshing me. Because I can't do that. That bit I can't do. That bit I can't cleanse myself. I can't get my life completely right myself and strive and work really hard to do that. All I can do is commit myself to be near to the living God. Because when you're near to the living God, two things happen. Two things change. Two things get shaped. The first thing that gets shaped is your character. Because as you come close to the character of the living God, to his nature and who he is, then you are transformed. Because you suddenly realize that as you get close to him, you suddenly realize how far away your character is. Because all of a sudden you're getting nearer and nearer to the living God. And no longer is he shaped in your image. No longer is he the God that you thought he was. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, everybody thinks they know what God is about. Everybody thinks they know what Christians are about or what the church is about or what the Bible is all about until they get close. Until you get close to the living God, you think God's like this, God's like that. And we base it on what our father was like or what our pastor's like or what somebody said to us once upon a time. But until you get close to God, Do we base it on what somebody on the internet says or what somebody knew? And there are fantastic preachers out there who do an amazing job preaching. But sometimes they're not always right. That's their journey. That's their closeness. But until you get close to God, because you're unique. And you can listen to how God has shaped me, and I could stand up here and testify, and Laura's testifying. And it's just amazing what Laura shared before, wasn't it? And really encouraging about the goodness and mercy of God following us. But, you know, that's Laura's walk, and you may get some encouragement from that. You may get some encouragement from my walk. But until you get close to the living God, you will not be transformed as much as you could have been. So God is calling you to come close to him. So two things happen when you pray. Two things happen when you climb the mountain of prayer. Two things happen. The first thing is that you change. Number one, because you're close to him. But number two, because God is merciful. And God has been sharing things with me, which I know a few months ago, I couldn't have coped with if I wasn't close to his love and mercy. So you think everything's okay in your life, get close to God. And he will show you that it isn't, but that he loves you. And that he's going to help you. And he's going to transform you. And he's going to renew you. Because if you're going to really be changed from deep down, if we're going to get into emotionally healthy spirituality, and we are genuinely going to get down underneath the surface and look at what God is doing in our lives and what he wants to do and how he wants to transform us, we need the grace and mercy and the first love. We need that. Because I can't survive away from God and God show me everything that I need to change in, because it would destroy me. And so over these last few weeks, I've had to apologize to some people. I've had to really look hard at myself, and I've realized for how long I've been not right in certain areas in my life. And some of them are too personal to share with you. Okay? It's not that I don't want to be honest. It's just that, you know, sometimes we have a secret history. We should have a secret history with God. And that's between me and God. But, you know, all I'm saying is that there are things that God wanted to change in my life, and he's changing them, and it's not easy. And it isn't easy. But I'm also full of joy that he's doing it right now, because I can sense a closeness and I sense a revival in my life, because I have chosen to do that. And I'm caught, and some of you may be in the same place to me, I don't know. But I'm saying to every single one of us, God is calling us to be a people of prayer who will consecrate ourselves. And the second thing that changes, so that's the first thing that changes, you do, I do, we do, as we come near to his character. The second thing that changes when we get into the place of prayer and intercession is that our future changes, because the will of God is revealed to us. So his character is revealed to us and his will is revealed to us. And when his will is revealed to us, we submit to his will, and it's hard sometimes. But then our future is shaped and is changed. So our character is changed and our future is shaped and it is changed. And there are some times when we kind of receive a word from God and we think, right, this is where my life is going. Off we go. And because we're not daily climbing the mountain, sometimes, you know, we make these assumptions about God, don't we? We say, like, oh, okay, clearly God wants me to do this. And so often you hear the testimonies of people who set off in one direction, but because they're living so close to God, God will say, just do this. Just do that. Read the Gospels. Read what happened to Jesus. He was heading to one place, and the Holy Spirit says, no, go over here. And the same with Paul. Holy Spirit says, go over here. Are we sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit? Well, we have to climb the mountain. What God was saying to me was, and he gave me this picture of the mountain, was that, do you know what, Mike? You've not got past base camp. And you look at some of these documentaries about people climbing Mount Everest, and they get to base, and it's a tough journey getting to base camp. You know, you see them climbing through, and they're pulling all these things, and they've got that. But at base camp, you've still got your tents, and you've still got your cushions in the tents. You remember what Adrian said the other day. And you've still got your helicopter around the corner, and you've still got the opportunity to go back down to the village for a pint, and then back up to base camp again a few days later in your helicopter. And then you've got all the access to everything that you need, and you can rely on everybody else there at base camp. And God says, get beyond base camp. God is saying, go where maybe other people haven't been before. Little old Ormskirk Christian Fellowship, little old Mike in Ormskirk Christian Fellowship. Why only Rhys Howells? Why only Yonggi Cho? Why only amazing people of God that we read about? Why only George Mueller? Why only, Why not? God says, get beyond base camp. Because as you get beyond base camp, you get into those regions and those areas where other people haven't been before, and you can rely on nothing, including yourself, only me. And I was reading in this book I'm waving about, is the Book of Common Prayer. This one was produced in 1938, and it's my mum's. And my mum inspires me. Sounds like a mummy boy thing to say that, doesn't it? But my mum inspires me. I honour my mum. And it was awesome what Ruth shared before. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But my mum inspires me. She has been through some tough stuff, my mum. And I'm not going to share all the details. But she has always sought God. She has always prayed. I know she prays for me. And so anyway, in this, they have like a reading every day. And it says this in 2 Corinthians. And I think this may be for somebody here. Because we were praying this morning, and Laura quite rightly was saying she believes that we are in a spiritual battle. And I believe the enemy doesn't like the fact that I, as a leader, are calling you to pray, calling you to intercession. Doesn't like the fact that school pastors are going out and trying to take back the territory that the enemy's had. Doesn't like that. 2 Corinthians. The enemy's going to have a go, but listen to this. Paul, this is Paul speaking. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Paul says this. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. That's leaving base camp, isn't it? He left base camp. He says, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life, when we're clinging to the side of the mountain and it's either clamber back up again or fall. So that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. Have you ever been that desperate? Some of you perhaps are right now, I don't know. Overwhelmed. But, Paul says, this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Wow. Okay. Doesn't he hit you with a whammy at the end of that one? I was so desperate. It's beyond my ability to endure. I've been there in my workplace, in situations, beyond my ability to endure. But that was so that I could realize I need to pray and seek his face. I need to humble myself, turn from my wicked ways, seek his face and live. Because God says, I will hear from heaven and heal the land. Okay, so it's not just heal me as an individual, but as I'm in that place of intercession, as I turn from my wicked ways, as I am cleansed, as I'm dedicated, as I climb the mountain beyond base camp, it says that God is going to heal the land. And isn't that what Chris was saying before? As we begin to step out in the gifts and the ministries, then God is going to heal the land, but it's only if we do it in God, in his presence. It's only as we step into that place of amazing intercession. But this is a place of waiting. And there's two ways of spelling wait, isn't there? There's W-A-I-T or there's W-E-I-G-H-T. And as we wait on God, he's going to bring a weight of his presence in our lives. Because we're not waiting on ourselves. We're not waiting for the lottery to suddenly, or our boat to come in. We're not waiting for somebody to knock on the door and say, we're waiting for God. Amen. We're waiting on God, and we're waiting for the weight of his presence. And I believe that God is building up a weight of his presence as people join together in prayer, as people wake up in the morning to pray. I believe that God is bringing a weight of his presence. Oh, I want to pray. I want to say so much more, but do you know what? I'm not going to. So I am going to be speaking next week. I think that's enough for me to say right now. I think God just wants us to spend time in his presence. He wants us to spend time seeking after him. He wants us to spend time just devoting ourselves to him. So have a look at your leaflet. On the leaflet there, we've got the mountain that you're going to climb, guys. And on the front, it says there, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do amazing things among you. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? And the world says, everybody, doesn't matter. Do what you like, be what you like, believe what you like, think what you like. Who can stand in the holy place? It's not popular to say it. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, he who will receive blessing from the Lord, lift up your heads, that the King of glory may come in. That the King of glory may come in. Hosea chapter 14, verse 8, God says, I am like a green pine tree. Your fruitfulness comes from me. A little while ago, Maren from Jesus' house came, and we just had the news, really, of the land being given to us. And Sue and Maren were praying for us. And Maren prayed from Psalm 133. She's an amazing person, Maren. Her husband died a while ago, but her and her husband kind of set up Jesus' house in Hernhut. And if you don't know the story of Hernhut, it was basically there's 100 years of 24-hour prayer in that place. I mean, look at the history of Jesus' house. Amazing. Psalm 133 says this: how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. And I'm going to finish with this before I mention what we're going to be heading towards and one or two little bits of information about the church. Because I believe that one of the keys to revival in our church is unity, and is exactly what Ruth was sharing before. It is about how do we honour one another and how do we honour others. And this is an area God has really been challenging me on. Because when we begin to find a unity together in prayer, and a unity that no matter what, we will stick together and love one another and honour one another, even if we disagree, because honouring doesn't mean agreeing. Even if we disagree, even if we've got upset, even if somebody's done something that's really annoyed us, and there's things we need to do about that, but we still need to honour one another. God has been telling me more and more that as we are united, then this is what happens. It says the oil, the Holy Spirit, will be poured down onto the intercessor, that's you and me, onto the robes of the intercessor, the one who prays. It says it's as though the dew of Hermon, which is representative of the Holy Spirit, is poured out onto Mount Zion, which is the place of prayer. And the result of that is that there comes blessing and salvation. That's what that psalm says. So will we do it? Will we allow God to challenge us enough to make a difference? And I don't think there's any exceptions in this room or listening to this on the podcast. God isn't going to say, you're okay, you're okay, you're okay, you're okay. You need a little bit of work. God is going to say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Come into my presence and I will transform you and I will change you and I will challenge you and I will move you forward and you will get beyond base camp. And God is to step out beyond base camp into a place of prayer, because God is calling us to be a church of intercessors. We need to be praying for ourselves, for one another. So on that leaflet that we've got here, I've given you a few things that's going to help you. Okay, so let's very quickly go through the leaflet. For those of you who haven't got the leaflet, I'll hold it up like that. Not that you'll be able to see it, but it will just point to the right direction. I'll ask Ruth if we can send it out on the... I'll email a PDF of it. So, okay, so what we have got here, we are right there on the third page along. We are calling the church to 100 days of prayer. Don't worry, you're not going to have to go around to Dave's house for 100 days, even though that would be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? But we're not going to be having 100 meetings, 100 days of meetings. But what we are calling you to is 100 days of prayer as a church. Do we take the word of God seriously? Do we obey it as a church? God is asking us that question. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow I'll do amazing things among you. 100 days of prayer, starting on the 16th of September. That doesn't mean to say you don't pray between now and then. And it doesn't mean to say that after Christmas, and I didn't realize this, but I just chose 16th of September. Turns out that the 100th day is the 24th of December. Something in that, I reckon. Okay, so the day before the birth of Jesus, okay, we're going to be praying. And I imagine that God was just, you can imagine just God getting ready for the birth of Jesus. Can you imagine that the Trinity there in heaven? Oh, it's coming! You can almost like Kirsty right now, just, sorry, Kirsty, I know. maybe not with quite the same excitement, but we are excited. We are excited. It's like, it's come. And I, can you imagine what it was like in heaven, just thinking to myself, wow, just before God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit knew that God was going to come and have an impact in the earth, that heaven must have been, the angels must have been, whoa, no wonder the angels appeared to the shepherds and there was all these, like, it was just must have been an astounding thing. So we've got 100 days of prayer. We're going to join with heaven. So from the 16th of September to the 24th of December, we're calling the church to seek God and to listen to him. And then within that, we're calling for 40 days of fasting. Little pause while you get shocked. 40 days of fasting. Now, Jesus did that without anything to eat. We're calling for 40 days of fasting in whatever way you want to do it, okay? Well, I know. But it's partial fasting, so we don't want you to end up in hospital or anything like that. It's okay. Just build. You need to build up to 40 days of fasting. So talk about partial fasting. And whatever that will be for you, it might be missing your breakfast. It might be having one meal a day. It might be having no coffee. It might be having no tea for 40 days. It might be having... For 2 hours in the evening, you're turning your mobile phone off. Oh. Hang on. I'd rather do without food. I don't know what it might be for you. It might be that there is a certain program that you always watch and you've always watched it since you're 3 years old. And God says, don't watch that program for 40 days. I don't know what that could be. I don't know what it is. But from the 14th of October to the 22nd of November, we're calling for a time of fasting. And fasting brings authority in prayer. It's a period of more intense, consecrated listening and intercession. And during that fast period, we're going to be setting up a prayer wall. And Emma knows what we're doing. It all went over my head yesterday. But there's basically an online Google document. Have I got that right?
When we set one up.
Don't go on it now, but we're doing an online Google document, which is basically going to be our prayer wall. And what we're going to do is there, you'll be limited to how many times, because I know some people will just be on there all the time. But we're going to have a limit on it. So we're going to ask you to seek God, and then on there, I just want you to put down what you've been praying for. That's all it is. Nothing, you know, it's got to be super spiritual, it's got to be amazing, anything like that. It's just like, Lord God, bless the young people in Ormskirk. Lord God, reduce the knife crime in our country. Lord God, intercede for our families. We intercede for our families. I don't know whatever's going to be on that prayer wall. It might be a scripture. It might be some. But during that 40-day period of fasting, we're going to set up a prayer wall. And we want you to... And what will be great for us as leaders, we're going to begin to see where God is leading people's hearts in prayer. Wow. I'm kind of quite emotional about what God's going to do. I sense it. God is going to really speak to us clearly. And really form our vision through this time. So anyway, wow. So that's during that time. During that time, we're going to have only four gathered worship times, but you can get together as well if you want to in your homes, in your houses, because I know what you people are like. You love getting together. You love worshiping around the Word of God. So the gathered worship and intercession, and those are the dates there. We're going to do that. If Saturday is your Sabbath, you don't have to come. If your Saturday is when you're with your family, you don't have to come to that one. Okay, I'm saying, but it would be good for you to pray with your family, wouldn't it, at some point there? But if you think to yourself, oh, I love worship, but I want to anyway, that's fine. I'm just saying, okay. And then the last thing I'll put down there is that it's going to be a period of, and I've called it deliberate honor. Following on from what Ruth was saying there before, we're going to be learning how to honor everyone regardless of how they are with us. Ooh. Regardless of how they are with us, we're going to honor everyone. Ooh. That is going to be tough, isn't it? Not even entertaining a dishonouring thought. Lord God, we need your anointing in this one, Lord. Help me, Lord. And the reason we've put that there is because I believe that when we begin to live like that, then the Holy Spirit falls. The Holy Spirit falls. I really do. Okay, the rest of the leaflet you can probably read for yourself on the back there. That's suggested prayer focus. We've got over here, I believe it's important we pray for the persecuted church. We can see within there, there's a number of countries that people are familiar with, one of which is Eritrea. We heard about our friend Abiot from Eritrea. So please pray for those countries as well. I think it's so important. And then you can see something there on Thursday, the 19th of September, there's an online prayer gathering if you want to take part in that. We're deciding as leaders what we're going to do about that. The rest of it you can read for yourself. Okay, now I'm going to finish by talking about, very briefly, the sign-up list. We've got a sign-up list there for We Love Small Groups, and we've got Emotionally Healthy Spirituality course going on. This will be my third time of doing it. Yes, because the second time was a lot better than the first time. Adrian led the first time, and it was amazing. It was amazing. It was really, really good the first time round. Nothing to do with Adrian. It's just that I wasn't quite switched on. I mean, you read these things, you go into the, oh yeah, that sounds good. Tick the box, done it. There's your course sorted out. Thank you, Lord. So then we did it a second time with the wider leaders, and Andrew was leading it that time. It was amazing that time. It's all right, Adrian doesn't listen to my podcast. So God bless Adrian. God's challenged me to honour Adrian as well, so I do honour Adrian. It's going badly. So, Lord God, forgive me again. Okay, so, but it was to do with me. It's to do with where I'm at, where I was at. So the first time around, it was just, so those of you done it once, some people in this room have done it once. Oh, it was all right. Well, that's how I, you know, yeah, it's okay, it's okay. Second time round, the Holy Spirit started to say, here we go, here we go, here we go. Third time round, expect tears. Expect heartbreak, expect joy, expect something deep happening. The Emotionally Healthy Spirituality is a discipleship course which is about deep transformation of our lives, not the superficial transformation that sometimes we do have, that some discipleship courses do. We need to go deeper. And it is about acknowledging that our God created our emotions and he created our hearts and he created us as whole people. And that we are shaped by the world, we're shaped by our past, we're shaped by our parents, we're shaped by our families, we're shaped by so many things. There are things that get in the way. There's grief and there's loss and there's all kinds of things that happen in our lives. And we need to address those and look at those and say, Lord God, not only how do we overcome them, but how do we learn from them? How are we transformed through those? Because I believe God is leading us to a deeper level of being with him. So this is why I think that God is calling us to a place of consecration and closeness to him and devotion to him, because he wants to do deep things within us. So I'm really excited about that. We've got a sign-up list there, and it's on. You can choose. Put your name down. Could you put down all of the days that you can do, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, because then we're going to have a look and sort of divide them up. The course itself, as you can see in the newsletter, the course itself is great. You know, we've got videos, we've got Bible studies, you get into the Word of God. And what we're going to do as a church is, in 2 weeks' time, Andy's going to kick us off, I think, and we're going to be doing 2 weeks of sermons based on the first session, then we'll do the first session. 2 weeks of sermons based on the second session, then we'll do the second session as groups, okay? So we're going to be following it up in our groups, and there'll be once a fortnight. So if you do meet as a Bible study, etc., then you could, you know, the weeks in between, you could meet up to do that as well. But I'm really excited about the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, and I'm excited about doing it for a third time. It would be great if you could participate in that and get as many people as possible to participate in that. That would be amazing. Okay, let's pray. Yeah. Father God, I want to thank you that you are the living God. And because you're the living God, we can be still. Because you are the mighty God, the powerful God, the awesome God, the God who rouses himself, the God who is at the right hand interceding for us. Because you're the God who knows all things, we can be still. And so we pray, Lord God, that you'd bring us into that place of intercession where we can stand in your stillness and intercede for your church, intercede for your people, intercede for the world. This world is at a place where it needs intercession, Lord. Our country is in a place where it needs intercession. And I believe you're calling your people like never before. Not just OCF, I believe you're calling your church across this world into a place of intense intercession and presence of you, Lord God, and just crying out to you in desperation and coming before you. And I'm excited. And so we bring that anointing now into our lives. We lift up before you, Lord, the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality course that we're going to be starting soon. I ask, Lord God, that you would bless those people who are going to be leading it, and I ask that you would help us to fully participate in all of that we want to go deeper in you. We want to grow in you, Lord Jesus. No matter how challenging it is, we say we move beyond base camp and we step towards you in Jesus' name. Amen.